Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, and streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Joe Rex Road coming back into the room. Coffee has been had. He's ready to go, and now people can see his beautiful face. Streaming live on Periscope, YouTube, and on Twitch as well.
I try to do that stair thing where you pretend you up, but my knees aren't—they're not up to it, man.
You got about halfway down, and you're like, "Screw this!"
Yeah. I mean, I played. You know, I had to wear out a 13-year-old on the basketball court yesterday. So, you know, that's my excuse for my knees feeling a little bit wobbly.
How close is your 13-year-old to taking you down on the basketball court? Is there progress being made?
Technically, there's been like maybe one or two wins in one-on-one, but it's, you know, I mean, come on.
It's like, yeah, it's like the 16th seed beating the one. It's not going to happen very often.
Yeah, but no, it's getting better. Got to work on that left hand, man. Got to work on that left hand.
Got to be versatile.
Yep.
That's part of the game.
Got to be able to make a left-handed layup at some point.
At some point, that's for sure. Got a lot coming this hour. Predators head coach John Hines joining us at 7:30. We'll get into the game tonight against the Detroit Red Wings with him. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Now, Joe, you've been accused by some on our text line of having an affinity for Jadeveon Clowney. We all know how excited you were for Titans fans to get him in the fold last year, and he came in. We know what happened. It didn't work out with Jadeveon Clowney and the Titans, but now Jadeveon Clowney rumored to have visited the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Now, probably some regret on Clowney's front. They offered him, I believe, a multi-year deal last year, as our good friend Charles Robinson pointed out, worth, I think, up to $18 million, which, if you're Clowney, sounds pretty good right now.
But per year, by the way.
Per year. So, could have been in really good shape financially. But the report yesterday that Clowney visiting the Cleveland Browns, could it be another opportunity for Clowney to end up in Cleveland? And if you're a Titans fan, do you want to see him go? There have been some Titans fans that have floated the idea out there of, now that you've got Bud Dupree, you've got Harold Landry in the fold as well, maybe you keep Clowney as your number three. What do you think of that?
I mean, I don't even what's he taking? First of all, let's go back to the beginning. I was not excited when Clowney came.
I was not excited for Titans fans. Not you personally. We're doing jumping jacks. Said you're excited for Titans fans.
I liked the move. I did.
There you go.
I liked the move.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. I just, you know, Clowney.
I kind of think you did do that.
Yeah. According to Heidi.
Four ladder Heidi.
And Jared.
Yeah.
Four ladder Heidi and no
ladder
Stillman.
May or may not be the same person, but yeah.
Jared does have a ladder now, right?
6 foot ladder.
On his way from Amazon.
Oh, okay. It's not there yet. Now, next, we have to teach him how to use it. So you put your foot there. And then your hands here, and then the next foot goes up.
I would love to see you teach him how to use the ladder. Be great.
What level of Little Lord Fauntleroy are we talking here, Jared? I hope he's listening.
I hope so, too.
Clowney, yeah. No, first of all, forget the – come on, he's gone. Like, the third person, I definitely advocate drafting a young player – who has not had a series of serious injuries, who would, you know, be inexpensive. I mean, what is Clowney? Clowney's number is going to go way down, okay?
Yes.
But how far down is it going to go? He's not going
to
take
not
2
far
mil?
Enough to be your number three.
Exactly. If Clowney will take a $1 million guaranteed with incentives up to like 6, okay?
Do it.
Great. Yeah, he's not. That's not going to happen. The Browns, they're enamored with him. Go for it. I can't wait to see the number, though. If you, at this point, again, after another season-ending injury, because at some point, the list gets too long and the age gets too high.
You're getting close to that point with him.
Right. I mean, if anyone gives him more than, I don't know, $7-8 million, I think that's crazy. And yes, I am the person. I'll raise my hand always. I thought the whole thing last offseason was built around getting him, and I think it was, and they got him. And of those three moves that really didn't pan out, that's the one that I criticized the least, and Vic Beasley is the most, because Vic Beasley came with all this, you know, all this information that you seem to ignore. Clowney, everybody knows, is kind of a risk. And look, I do think that Clowney, if he had a good run of health, could still help a team and be an effective player. But again, that if gets bigger and bigger as different, you know, core and knee, and he's had knee before. It's a lot of stuff. He didn't have an Achilles, did he?
I don't think so.
No. I mean, he and Watt together between them over those years, it just so many different things.
Well, maybe that's where he ends up. Maybe he ends up in Arizona. We had, you know, a texter a few months ago talk about only way J.J. Watt's coming to Nashville is if they keep clowning.
That's right. We did have that source watching J.J. Watt eat pulled
pork. The Houston barbecue joint.
Yeah. Maybe. Our guy, Sheil Kapadia, friend of the show, has his best free agent fits and where players should go. He goes Dolphins with Clowney. So in this second wave free agency, he's picking fits. I've already told you this, so I'll throw it at Porth. Porth, what would you guess if someone was saying, okay, some one person out there in this, you know, the second level of free agents the Titans should sign? Who would you guess?
What position would you guess?
That Sheil Kapadia said?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Tight end?
That's a good guess, but it's not tight end.
It's a receiver. Now, do you have a guess?
Well, a tight end technically does receive the ball.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's
this person does not play the tight end position. We'll put it that way.
Receiver.
I can't even think right now at the top of my head who the free agent receivers are.
Former Baltimore Raven.
I had not really
thought. Willie Snead?
Yeah, Willie Snead.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, I hadn't thought about him.
Wouldn't hate that.
It's not terrible. He had 33 for 432 last year. Again, it's just
and you got to keep in mind the numbers in that offense, probably a little pushed down with as to what they're doing out there. It's not like Lamar Jackson's slinging the ball around the field 40 times a game either.
Right. But I think with Snead, yeah, again, I think it's kind of like, I mean, I know Watkins is a higher level than him with probably a little bit bigger risk, bigger money. Snead would be not expensive. I suspect, though, that you know, that they're not going to sign any more receivers. Now, I could be wrong, but I think it's imperative to draft one. But Reynolds certainly helps the depth. And then we know the future All-Pro that I have forecast for everybody.
Yes, Rondale Moore.
Well, no.
Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, yes. I mean, have two All-Pros.
He is now Joe's Nick. Yes. Joe's Hoosier, who is going to be an All-Pro next year and catch 100 passes for 1,500 yards.
Who's your daddy?
There you go. Thank you.
That was not good.
I did that headline in a college paper. Sports editor, when Michigan State beat Indiana, that I wrote that headline.
Did you get fired?
Who's your daddy?
Okay.
I don't know.
You wrote your own headlines?
Well, I mean, I was a sports editor, so I put together
the editor. Okay.
I put together the page.
Right, yeah. Okay.
So a big, who's your daddy?
Nice.
And some, and, you know, someone was like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, yeah, well, whatever, man. It's a joke.
Just do it.
They beat the Hoosiers.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD text in. Should the Titans take a flyer on Aldon Smith? Now, Aldon Smith had 5 sacks last year and played in all 16 games for the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys informing him yesterday they are moving on from him, so he is out there and available. If you're the Titans, do you think a flyer on Aldon Smith could be in the cards? Now, he is 31, be 32 next season in September. How would you go about that if you're the Titans? Do you think he is worth taking a flyer on?
I guess with a lot of these players, look, I'm if you can make it work with everything else, with the rookie pool that you have, and with you know, the annual goal, and the annual, it's not just a goal, it's what they do, having space left over, you know, when you're in camp,
right?
Then that's a position where more depth, more quality is good. Just a lot of these names that are being thrown out here who are being cut are people in their 30s who have had injuries who are going the wrong way. I mean, it's just – that's why – that's one thing I like about the Reynolds signing is that he actually could still be getting better. You know, I mean, he's been durable. He's played every game basically, and he's young.
Right.
And a lot of these other names that are being thrown out here – I mean, it's hilarious for me to call someone in their early 30s old, but it's the NFL.
Yeah.
So,
are you calling me old?
If you were a professional athlete, I would say you're probably senior better. Although, technically, you know, your athletic prime is 28 to 32.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Well, then I'm in my athletic prime.
I'm at the beginning of it.
So there you go. It's not over for you guys yet.
Yeah.
I remember being like 35, 36, like, yeah, I'm still pretty close to the athletic press. Not that far away.
That's right. We'll continue the discussion on the Tennessee Titans when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. 1025 The Game is kicking off every weekend with free beer.
Free beer!
And who doesn't love free beer? Make sure you're tuning in all day on Friday for your chance to win a $25 gift card from Bavarian Beer House located at Opry Mills Mall. Ryan Porth already come up with an expert-level trivia question, we think.
I also an expert-level trivia question later this hour for your chance to win Preds Red Wings tickets tonight.
That is true.
Ooh.
We've got an opportunity for you to get in the building tonight to watch the Predators take on the Detroit Red Wings. John Hines coming up at 7:30 as well, Predators head coach. So looking forward to that conversation with him in about 12 minutes or so. We'll get that done. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Let's go to the text line. Ron texts in and says, I think it doesn't matter what kind of receivers you have because a receiver is only as good as his quarterback and vice versa. I think when you're talking Colts, the Colts will be just mediocre. So a couple of different thoughts there from Ron. What do you think of his idea that it doesn't necessarily matter who the receivers are as long as the quarterback is really good?
Well, I disagree, Ron.
I disagree as well.
I think you need good receivers too. Now, granted,
Tannehill could
the mythical sea monster known as Tom Brady could target me Scotty Miller, there you go.
Yeah.
There are quarterbacks who make receivers better.
Sure.
But I think you need some – I mean, how much has the Titans' offense improved from adding A.J. Brown in the last 2 years?
Pretty dramatically.
That guy, and
now,
we would all agree that Derrick Henry
is – you
know
who the quarterback's been the last 2 years with him too, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, it all works together.
It does.
You can't tell me that A.J. Brown, just on his own, has not made a massive difference with what he does.
Yeah.
After the catch, going to get the ball, I mean, everything. He's becoming a really, really excellent receiver. So, it's not like, hey, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, who I'm now going to be tied to forever. There's a guy who might, be some kind of a contributor for the Titans moving forward, and maybe a guy like Tannehill can make him look better. But you need some A.J. Browns on your roster.
Well, you do. And like Josh Reynolds,
or
I think,
one
is a good signing. And if you can draft a receiver that can come in and contribute right away, then you feel a lot better about this room. Like if it's just Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball to A.J. Brown and that's it, if you didn't go out and get Josh Reynolds, you go with a receiving room of Cam Batson and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, no disrespect. Probably not going to be a very prolific passing game this year. Sorry, had to get my shot in.
It's my guy.
It's your guy. You know, people talked about Khalif Raymond being your guy last year.
That
didn't work out.
A lot of people give me crap for that.
They do. Do you think that maybe if this doesn't work out with Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, you could be like the as the curse I am to Preds pick to click? We'll have another opportunity coming up at 8:45. Maybe you're that way with Titans wide receivers.
Well, maybe he just replaces Khalif Raymond.
Maybe so.
Because, yes, I definitely during camp last year was like, Khalif Raymond looking good, everybody.
Yeah.
Watch out. He had a couple good games. Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. He had one, actually, definitely a good game.
He was good against Minnesota.
Yeah.
That's true.
He had like 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah. I'm glad he had one good game.
Yeah.
Didn't he end up somewhere the other day?
The Lions.
The Lions.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So I think maybe it's that franchise is changing for the better.
Yes.
Dan Campbell, Khalif Raymond.
A mighty team that will not yield.
Now with a speed threat. Jared Goff throwing the ball down the field to Khalif Raymond.
Kenny Galladay, good luck in New York. Westbrook, you can't. No, it's guaranteed that, again, if he has like 25, 30 catches next year, which is a lot, going from three to that. But to me, that would be a success. That would be someone who, like Tajay Sharp at the back of the room, can come in and give you something. But even that, I'll take crap because someone will be like, well, you said he's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. You said he's going to be number two. So I'm bracing for it. At least I own a ladder.
Back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in and says, so if Tannehill lays another playoff dud, are we going to say the downgraded weapons are the reason why? Ben all over Ryan Tannehill and his playoff performances.
So Ben is a Tannehater?
Oh, yes.
He's a verified Tannehater.
Verified Tannehater.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, look, Tannehill, you got to prove yourself year to year, game to game. What have you done for me lately? His last game was not good enough. Wouldn't argue that. I mean, I hope you've watched all the games. You should feel pretty good about who your quarterback is.
Ben argues in the playoffs, it's all been bad for Tannehill.
That's,
because of the stats.
Right, the stats, yeah. He didn't throw those red zone touchdowns to Firkser and Jonnu Smith. He didn't throw the bomb to Raymond. He didn't throw the two conversions late in the New England game to keep. He did throw a bad pick at New England, though. That's something to remember. Wasn't perfect. Stats weren't great.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Andrew from Dover texted in, trade up in the draft and get Devontae Smith from Alabama. You have to trade up pretty high.
Yeah, what
get Devontae Smith.
What are you trading? So you got 22. I mean, where's Devontae Smith going to go at this point? That's going to be really interesting to see how those especially just like – I think everyone pretty much has Chase rated as the number one guy.
Right now, everybody's pretty much got rated Devontae Smith at number two, which is
– number two overall or number two between him and Waddle?
Number two behind Chase, between him and Waddle.
Yeah.
I've seen Waddle at three basically all over the place as of late.
Yeah, like the one the athletic writers one that we just did has Smith going 9 to the Dolphins, Waddle 7 to the Lions. Oh, the Lions!
Oh man,
a mighty team, and then Chase to the Eagles,
a mighty team that will not yield.
Thank you. 9? If you had to just get up to 9, so 13 spots. That's,
yeah.
First of all, let's before we even entertain this, because it's just like fun mock draft stuff, there's zero chance that they are, to me, investing other stuff to go get a receiver when they have these other needs. Like, if they traded up, to me, I think it would be more likely they'd trade up to get, like, J.C. Horn. I don't know if anybody noticed, but Vrabel and Robinson were at his pro day yesterday.
Pretty good player.
To me, if there's a corner here that – they are like, that is the guy. We need an elite corner. This is going to be a long-term starter, an elite guy for us. That would be, to me, where they would move up. A Farley, now he's got the injury. You know, Patrick Surtain, too, from Bama. But J.C. Horn lit it up at his pro day, certainly. He apparently, he tested off the charts and looked great. Both of them were there, so... That is, if they're going to move up to do something like that, it would be that. It would not be to get one of those top receivers. Because it just,
You got to give up
too
much.
You have to give up too much, and you have too many other needs.
Well, we've talked about going kind of the opposite way of moving up. If you're the Titans, maybe moving down and getting another pick in there to get to 5 in the top 100 rather than 4. Like, if you're moving up, you're sacrificing picks at that point. To me, with this roster being what it is and financially being where you are, I'm not even sure that's a route you could consider. Unless, Kyle Pitts drops to, 12 and you really love Kyle Pitts, go get him. But other than that, there's really not a whole lot of scenarios where I can imagine the Titans moving up.
Yeah, if someone falls and that you just absolutely, Pitts. Or, again, one of these corners, if there's someone, they think J.C. Horn, for example, is just up here compared to the other guys and it's attainable and you have to sacrifice a pick, okay, hey, get your guy. But, yeah, I mean, just as we stand right now, if it was me making a trade, I'd be going the other way and still getting a good corner and adding a pick and still getting at least one good receiver and a tight end and an edge and a tackle. And
all those other needs that are still on the table for the Titans. When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Nashville Predators. They're at home once again tonight, taking on the Detroit Red Wings. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Predators head coach John Hines coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Poore taking you through this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Talking all things Nashville Predators. They're taking on the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Predators head coach John Hines. John, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys.
John, we appreciate you taking time to join us. Obviously, your team playing really well as of late, winners of 4 out of the last 5, an impressive performance the other night against Detroit. What do you like the most about the way that your group has responded as of late, both on the 8-game road trip and now coming back one game at home, taking on the Red Wings again tonight?
I'd say probably 3 things. I think, you know, probably the first and foremost is I think the group's really come together as a team. And when you see guys, I think they're really playing for one another. You know, I think you can look at things that have gone on the road trip, just the consistency level in the work that we've had. There's a clear identity to our team every time we've played, you know, probably barring that second Florida game where, you know, we didn't play as well, but I thought that was more of an execution thing with the puck, our puck play and puck decisions, than it was how hard we were working throughout the lineup. So I think the fact that we're playing really well as a team, we're playing very connected. Guys are playing hard for each other. You know, you look on the road trip, we had a couple fights, and I think the team's response after those fights as opposed to early in the year brought us energy, and there was very good reactions to that. I think that when you look at sometimes when guys have taken penalties, like Matty Olivier in the Florida game, he takes that 4-minute roughing penalty against Gudas. Just the reaction of the guys on the bench and how hard they went out and tried to kill that penalty has been pretty impressive. I think that, you know, the guys really understand now, you know, the group of players that have been playing, just how hard you have to work night in and night out on both sides of the puck, not only defensively but offensively. The intensity level that our forecheck pressure, when we lose possession, our forwards, they're not hanging below the puck or waiting for someone else to do the job. They're transitioning hard back to defense, which allows us to play a real strong, connected game. And that's been very, very consistent. And I'd say the third thing is I just really like the mentality of our team, that there's, you know, we don't have any excuses, whether we've had injuries or a tough road trip or what it's been. You know, guys have, every player that was on the road trip played and contributed, no matter who was in or out of the lineup. We were the same group and the same mentality throughout every game. And I think that's a big thing, that it's about now we put ourselves in position where we can really compete for a playoff spot. And, you know, we're in a situation, too, to the players' credit, that, you know, we're not hoping for someone to lose or have to go on this big run, you know, win 5-6 games, 7 games in a row. We have to take care of our business on a daily basis.
On the first of those, John, is there a particular thing you can point to, a moment, a Newt Rockne speech from you, you know, an individual on the ice, something that has helped bring it all together?
You know, I think one of the big things is we didn't have a great series against Florida prior to the road trip, and there were some things in our game, particularly what I said, particularly with our forward group. Just I think when you watch us play in the offensive zone, like we showed some shop and compare clips. We showed Tampa, we showed Florida. Watch their reload and their commitment level without the puck, their intensity level in the offensive zone of getting to the net or winning puck battles, and you know, showed this, and then shop and compared with our clips, and they weren't close to the level they needed to be. And we talked about coming on the road trip and saying that if we're going to give ourselves a chance to win, this is the style of game, A, we've been preaching, but B, we have to have this in our game if we're going to give ourselves a chance to win. And to the guys' credit, I think they understood what it needed to be, and it was executed, and I think that got legs. That now started, okay, yeah, this is hard to play against. It is a lot of hard work, but there's rewards at it, and I think it just kind of grew as the road trip went on.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, John, I talked to you the other night after the game about Matias Ekholm and just how important he's been for your team through this stretch. As you've looked at it from your vantage point with the young guys you've had in the lineup on the back end, having him elevate and play on the left side, he's shown the ability to play on the right side as well. Just what has Matias Ekholm meant to this group specifically? And I guess from a leadership standpoint, what sort of strides have you seen him take over the last stretch here?
Yeah, I mean, he's played very well. Obviously, you can see what he's done on the ice. I think that we were talking about the other day as a staff, just with Roman out and Ryan out, you know, he's really been the most experienced guy and was thrust into the number one position of having, you know, top minutes in every situation. And I think he really thrived in that situation. And his play's been very good. He's always been someone I think you can all count on, even prior to my time here. He's plays the game hard. He's a big 6'4" defenseman. You know, he can skate, he moves the puck, he defends well. You can use him in all situations. And, you know, that's never really been a question with Matias. I think his game has elevated since the injuries. And I, you know, like I said the other night when we talked after the game, that he's a big reason why I think our team has really taken a step on the ice, just the way that he plays night in and night out. And the second part is I think he really did a good job as a growing leader with our team of, you know, you can have success on the ice too, but there's so much behind the scenes, your team chemistry, the buy-in, what's being said in between periods, you know, the messages from the coaches to the players. I think he's really, we've seen him take a step just in his demeanor around the locker room, being more vocal. And I'd like to just give you guys a heads up on that. You know, I think sometimes when you look at leadership, you know, we look at these guys and look at a guy like Ekholm and, you know, he's a big 6'4" guy. He's a well-spoken guy. And the way that he plays, you think there's a natural leadership component to him. And I think a lot of times you forget that these guys are great athletes, but sometimes they need to learn about leadership. And one of the things we've talked with our leadership group about, and particularly him, was we set goals for those guys coming into the year. And we had a leadership criteria. And one of them is, you know, Matias has always set the example of the way he plays, the way he goes about his business, what type of pro he is. But that's just setting the example. That's not leadership. Leadership is communicating and having a willingness to hold people accountable to those same standards that he has. And I think he was a guy that set the example of how you want to play and practice and how you want to be a pro. But the next step for our group and our leadership group was you've got to be willing to hold people accountable. And, you know, you can go to the movies with friends, but when friendship gets in the way of being a great teammate and a leader, that's the growth step that needs to happen for some of these guys. And that's what we've seen with Matias, is being willing to hold people accountable and being more vocal and communicating what needs to be done. And I think that's where he's really taken a step, is being a leader versus setting an example.
Yeah, it was really interesting. We talked about this earlier, John, like from our perspective on Matias, and it, a lot of times they don't match up. You know, one of the best guys to talk to over the years, you know, a guy who, good times, bad times, very outspoken, you know, willing to be very frank about things. You know, again, doesn't always match up, but it was interesting to hear you talk about him using his voice more, you know, behind the scenes. Is the youth of the team also part of that? I guess, is it easier or is it more urgent when you have so many young guys in the lineup now who need that kind of guidance?
I think with, you know, the difference is, you know, when you look at our team, when you have everybody in the lineup, you have a lot of guys that are all the same age, and lots of them have very similar experience, whether it's in the league or, you know, they've come up together. Some guys have been in the same draft class. And when you have a group of people that are all around the same age, you know, there is no natural pecking order where when you have some young guys in your lineup, a guy like Matias has far more experience than guys in the league. And, you know, I think that sometimes it's easier as a leader to be a little bit more vocal with young guys because there's just this natural level of respect, or sometimes there's not you know, as much pushback or things like that, because they're young and they're influential. And I think when that's the challenge of being a leader is to be able to do it with, you know, with young players, but also, you know, have that, which is why I think you need a leadership group sometimes, is to be able to have some backing, whether it's Roman says something and he's got to have his assistant captains, you know, be with him and stand strong together when you have a group of players that are all around the same age. And sometimes that dynamic changes a bit when you have some younger guys in the lineup.
Predators head coach John Hines on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And John, it's been pretty incredible to watch UC Soros since he's come back from injury. He has the shutout performance the other night against Detroit, the 47 save performance, albeit in a loss against Florida as well, but he was outstanding in that game. What have you noticed from him since he's come back? What do you think has been the difference with him since he's come back in?
Well, sometimes, you know, it's funny, guys can get away from a little bit when they get injured, and sometimes it's good for a reset. I even think, you know, when you look at Ekholm's play since he's come back from injury, he's been a little bit mentally refreshed and ready to go. But as far as Soros, when he's playing his best hockey, he's really, you know, he's a smaller goalie, but he's very athletic. But the thing that makes him very good is he's very positionally, he's very sound. He anticipates and reads the game really well. And I think when you look at him now, he's reading plays through traffic. I think when you look at a lot of the east-west plays, or like that rebound save he made early in the game against Detroit, you know, he sits back a little bit more in his net. He reads the play. He can anticipate, and his lateral movement, you know, he's lots of times he's in good position. So he's one of these goalies. Sometimes he makes incredible saves, but sometimes they don't look that great because of his positioning and his anticipation to be in the right spots, and that's when he's playing his best hockey.
John, I know you were asked about Tim Peel after the game the other night. We don't need to revisit that specifically, but it has become the biggest story in hockey right now over the last 24 hours or so. So a general question for you on officiating, the state of officiating, without getting you fined here, but do you think that there is a problem in this league, and do you think that fundamental changes need to happen to make officiating better in this league?
You know, I don't think, you know, one incident is something that really blankets the officiating in the league. I think that the guys do a very good job. One, it's a hard job. I know we can all, you know, there's probably not a lot of referees in any league anywhere that are usually well-liked, because you're in a position where, you know, you're always, if you make calls or you do things, you're always in a situation where that the team that's against it or the fan base that's against it aren't, you're never going to make everyone happy. And it is a tough job. But I think that, you know, we do have very good referees. I think that, you know, guys do a good job of communicating with coaches and players. And, you know, you don't get to this level as a referee if you don't really understand the game and the flow of the game and you're doing the right thing. So, you know, I don't think it's a major issue with the referees in the NHL. I think they do a lot of very, very, very qualified, quality people. And unfortunately, one incident, I think, has kind of possibly blanketed a lot of those guys or refereeing in general, and I don't think that that's fair.
Predators head coach John Hines has been our guest here on Robbie and Rextra. John, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and good luck tonight against the Red Wings.
Great, thanks. Always enjoy talking with you guys.
Absolutely. Appreciate John Hines, Predators head coach here on Robbie and Rextra. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators, revisit our poll question of the day, and get into some news yesterday as well that made the rounds from our show yesterday with Matt Duchesne. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Make sure you're tuning in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Got that opportunity coming up for you at 8:45. And Joe, we've already started receiving like sympathy text on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. For me, in this competition, it's become a sad place for me, Brett's Pick to Click. It's not good.
I think you just have to embrace it.
I kind of have to at this point. Otherwise, it's just sorrow every time.
You honestly, what you almost might need to do, you might need to be like George Costanza.
Yeah.
Can I trust you guys to get this reference?
Yes, Seinfeld.
Okay, good. I think Porth is kind of like, whatever your instinct is, this is a George Costanza moment. Do the opposite.
Yep.
So actually what you should be doing is You should be picking just complete random people who have no chance of scoring. And they will score.
Yeah.
And the first time it happens, I'm telling you, if Seinfeld is real life, which I base half my life on it, I think this could work out for you.
Hey, maybe worth a shot at this point. We'll see.
I think you should just go way off the grid today.
If I give it a try at 8:45, it may happen. We'll have to see how that goes.
If he goes off the grid, it's going to be Forsberg and Tolvanen scoring the goals tonight.
Forsberg's going to have a hat trick. So
maybe.
We'll see how that goes.
But has he really done it, though? I mean, basically, he's just been with, like, Tolvanen,
like
Forsberg, Granlund.
Tolvanen, Granlund, Johansson, Arvidsson.
Right.
Duchesne, when he's been healthy.
Is it not worth a shot at this point? It is.
Could be. We'll see if that's the route I decide to go.
Go with Carrier tonight.
Maybe so. Coming up at 8:45, you'll find out. Ryan Porth, we've got some tickets to give away.
Yes, we do.
For the Nashville Predators taking on the Red Wings tonight at Bridgestone Arena. And we've consulted you once again and your wonderful trivia questions that you always put together. If you get this question right, be the first person to text in to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you can win a pair of tickets to watch the Predators take on the Red Wings tonight. Ryan Porth, the trivia question for today.
I think one of you will easily get this, and I think the other will be stumped.
Okay.
So, Preds Red Wings tonight. Obviously, these two clubs have a lot of history, including in the playoffs, including the first ever playoff series for the Nashville Predators against the Detroit Red Wings back in 2004. Who scored the first playoff goal in team history for the Nashville Predators in 2004?
I know this.
The first goal in that series.
Yes.
First
playoff goal in Nashville Predators history.
So if you know the answer to that question, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you can win a pair of tickets to watch the Predators take on the Detroit Red Wings tonight
at
Bridgestone Arena.
Sorry, I just know it wasn't Lidstrom's fault. This is what I know, okay?
Okay.
Nick Lidstrom did not mess up. He never made a mistake in his entire career.
The perfect human.
That's right.
That's what they called it.
We should go back and watch the goal and see if Nick Lidstrom was on the ice. Because it was the first shift of the game.
So he probably was.
Yeah.
Still wasn't his fault.
Thought maybe an upset was coming in that series.
Yeah.
That game turned.
Yeah.
That game turned. So.
It took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. But, hey, got to do what you got to do sometimes. Joe, we made some news yesterday here on the program. Matt Duchesne, when his weekly visit with us, brought to you by Gary Ashton, Remax Advantage, and by Two Rivers Ford, talked about the Tim Peel situation that happened like literally 6 minutes before he came on air yesterday. The NHL coming out with the announcement that they were moving on from Tim Peel. He would not be officiating any games now or in the future. And Matt Duchesne provided some insight onto what exactly went down in that game, what that audio clip from Tim Peel was referencing, and just kind of gave his thoughts on refereeing and officiating in the NHL. Here's what Predators forward Matt Duchesne had to say yesterday here on the show.
I mean, you know, he's a veteran ref. He's, you know, it was his last year anyway. So I think, you know, that's maybe why they let him go rather than maybe suspending him or fining him. But, I mean, the crazy part is he was talking to Phil Forsberg in that clip. And he told our bench that. So, I mean, really bizarre. And I just think that can't happen. I mean, you gotta, like, imagine the scenario where they score on that power play, we lose the game, and we miss the playoffs by a point. I mean, imagine that scenario, which is, that can happen, right? Like, that could happen based on, like, that is not out of the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah.
So, I think that, you know, I don't think there's a place in hockey for that. You gotta call the game. I've always been frustrated when I see even up calls or stuff like that. Like if one team is earning power plays, you can't punish them because the other team is not. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that call was not a good call on RV. I mean, during the game, we're watching and we're like, what the heck was that? I mean, like, that wasn't even close to a penalty. And that was bizarre. I hope that's not something that goes on with more officials, but I mean, there's definitely nights where you're skeptical of it for sure.
So some honest comments there from Predator centerman Matt Duchesne. And, Joe, that made the rounds yesterday. It was on TSN and Sportsnet, on the NHL Network, all over the place, the hockey world reacting to Duchesne here on our show. I thought some really honest comments from Matt Duchesne there about what takes place on the ice, his view on makeup calls. And we talked about it yesterday, like even-up calls or makeup calls, whatever you want to call it. They've always been a part of not only the NHL, but I think really sports in general. And, you know, some former players talking yesterday about, you know, the game management, quote-unquote, from officials in the NHL, how at times that can be a problem. This has started to generate a lot of discussion around the NHL as to what officials' job is out there, how they should go about officiating these games in the league, and maybe out of this incident with Tim Peel, how this could change the game and how this could change officiating as things move forward here in the National Hockey League. I'm going to be very fascinated, number one, to see where this story goes as more information continues to be reported on and talked about with Tim Peel, but also how this may affect officiating moving forward as well.
First of all, I'm disappointed that our previous discussion with Duchesne about Canadian words and how they're pronounced did not go viral. I thought that,
I am too.
That one should have been all over the place. Yeah, people ran with this, and you know, it was one of those timing things. Like you said, the news broke, and we got Matt Duchesne on next segment. Worked out pretty well, and Duchesne is a guy who will speak honestly about things, which is great. And it was interesting hearing him say, I hope this doesn't go on, but I'm skeptical some nights.
Yep.
Because there's a wide range on that since this has happened of, I think I've heard more people who are kind of in my camp, which is, of course this goes on. Does it make it okay? No. But there are discussions, there's two different things. I think the makeup call part of it is worse than the get a game under control part of it.
Agreed.
Both of them, though, I think are part of the big picture that officials have in mind, and they're not just, you know, that's a penalty, that is not a penalty. They are not. In some ways, it would be great. Like, I'm all for robots in tennis on the line, you know.
Tell me whether it's in or out.
Yeah, like, I want that to be exactly right. Like, baseball, you know, I've heard some people say we should have the one strike zone, and that's, I don't agree with that. I think part of baseball is the umpire setting a strike zone and at times calling something totally out of the strike zone. It's human error. And then the manager comes out and kicks dirt on them. And, like, that's part of the game. Like, I think humans should be part of this. And humans officiating basketball, football, hockey, whatever sport you want, they're going to at times do things that are not just straight up, is that a penalty, is that a foul, or is it not? The big picture is in mind. But the makeup call aspect of it is so dumb because – some teams dominate other teams, and they should get 8 penalties called against the other team, and maybe they don't commit any. I mean, realistically, do they not commit any? Okay.
Rarely.
That's probably not. But you know, the huge disparities are fine. I mean, that sometimes that's just a domination. That's just a stat that reflects domination. And officials who look at it like that has to be closer to even, that's a problem.
I think it is. And I think that's been the case in the NHL at times where you've got, you know, heading into the third period, one team's had 5 power plays and the other one's had 1.
Yeah, so what?
I think some officials have viewed that as, oh, we're influencing this game too much by putting this team on the power play too much. Let's even this thing up. And to me, you're influencing the game even more if you start doing that crap. I've always had a problem with that aspect of it. So, I don't know if this is going to be like some groundbreaking moment for the NHL and officiating as we know it, changing moving forward. I agree with you. Like, I think there has to be a human element to this. I don't want to watch a special teams fest where people are just calling every penalty by the book all the time, because I'm here to tell you, if that happens, you're going to see a lot of power plays in some games from both teams. And I don't want the 5-on-5 aspect of hockey to just get completely removed. I think that would be awful for the game. So I do think there is a balance that needs to happen here. But this idea that you've just got to go about having makeup calls all the time, I don't agree with.
By the way, and I meant to look this up last night, and I didn't, but what was the penalty situation when he made that call? Because we never heard the rest of the discussion. We never heard the rest of the...
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look.
Was it definitely an evening up things, or was it a controlling the Preds thing? I think most people look at it like it was just a makeup call.
Yeah, I mean,
but is that necessarily the case?
I mean, I don't know. It was a very minor cross check that Victor Arvidsson delivered.
Oh no,
so we're trying to keep him under control. I'm like, what are you keeping him under control from? It's not like there's been some rabid fight going on between the Red Wings and the Predators as of late.
Right. I mean, other than just thinking the Preds are being too physical.
I don't know. Maybe.
So it was a makeup call. So you think it was a makeup call?
Yeah.
So we don't know. Porth, you don't know. I mean, I know we can figure this out. I meant to do this last night.
We could do this during the break.
What was the penalty situation when he made that call? Was it a huge disparity? Did the Preds
I mean, it was early in the game, so it couldn't have been that much of a disparity.
I don't know. So then if it wasn't, and it wasn't controlling them, what's your reasoning for wanting to do it?
That's a great question. And you know, Duchesne talking about he was talking to the Predators bench in that situation too, that generated a lot of reaction yesterday on social media. Like, why was Tim Peel talking to the Predators bench? Why was he talking to Philip Forsberg during this? Just very strange situation with Tim Peel and the NHL officials.
The Preds only had one power play in the first period.
Yeah.
And then this was early in the second period, so it was one penalty to the Red Wings and zero to the Predators before that point.
I guess I'd have to go back and look at the penalty they called on the Red Wings and just see what it was.
No, that was legit. That was the Adam Ernie interference on Victor Arvidsson where it was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Where so, he completely drilled Arvidsson without the puck.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's I guess, just to give him one because they had none?
Is that it? I guess so.
Got to give him one. Just get one out of the way.
Maybe he thought Arvidsson took a dive. I don't know. That's the only thing I can come up with. Couldn't tell you. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. We'll be joined by Craig Custance from The Athletic. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.